I can't wait. Could be today. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." Excuse me. "Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." And Father, we thank you that we can rely and count upon your mercy every single day. We know we don't get what we deserve. Help us to seek you. Help us to wait on you. Help us to more clearly understand your ways. May we more clearly understand your plan for us. And your plan for us, as always, leads us in a direction of righteousness. And we thank you for that. And I ask that you would speak to us through your word today and by your spirit, that we would learn what we need to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated, and good morning. It is a good morning, isn't it? We get to gather together in the name of Jesus and praise him. And that's good. Family, we are continuing on in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. And this morning we're going to be studying verses 12 through 16. And today's message is entitled, "Lessons from a Leper." And when we look at the life of this man, and he's identified as a man, no name, there's much to learn from his steps of faith. So with that, you know, we've come to the place in the ministry of Jesus here where he taught last couple times we talked about a new lesson to the Apostle Peter. And the lesson for the Apostle Peter was for you and me too, is Jesus stepped into Peter's life, if you remember, into a place where he was so comfortable as a fisherman. And Jesus stirred things up in order for something new to begin. Peter tried to give Jesus a lesson on fishing. Well, guess what? Jesus gave Peter a lesson on fishing for men. And if you remember the passage, "So you shall be a fisher of men," it meant catching men alive to a new life. That's what Jesus does. He gives us a brand new life. And as we spoke last time, sometimes Jesus steps into the comfort of our lives, doesn't he? Where we get comfortable with the way things are going, and sometimes comfort can lead to complacency. And praise God that Jesus steps in and shows us these things in order to teach us or provide necessary direction, or maybe a change of direction, or lead us to a place of blessings as we obey. Well, this morning as we open up to Luke chapter 5, again, there's a man spoken of in this passage that every one of us can relate to in one way or another. So let's read verses 12 through 16. "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeking Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he, Jesus, charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness, and he prayed." This is a really, really interesting account. This account is given to us in three of the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this is the cleansing of a leper. It doesn't mean healing. It doesn't say that. It doesn't mention that, but rather cleansing. And when we look at this account, we realize that this is really very remarkable what Jesus did. And It's quite staggering because there's implications here that may not be found as we read through the passage. When Jesus had finished speaking, he departed up from the mountain, and the crowd followed him, and also down in verse 5 describes as, or 12 describes as a great multitude. There's a great multitude following him. And previously, we've seen how people were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished with his doctrine as one that had authority. And now we'll see the crowd, we'll see firsthand his works of power. Astonished at doctrine, now astonished at power that will reveal his glory. And we, our family, in a sense, among those that were in the audience, as we also, we marvel at his doctrine and authority. But you know, we can only marvel and be astonished by his doctrine and authority if we believe who he is. We must believe that he is the Savior of the world. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son, God himself clothed in human flesh. And now he wants to reveal his glory through you and me too as he ministers to us in areas where we need to be ministered to. Now, there's one thing that immediately jumps out to me in this passage, and that is this man, he's nameless in the scriptures. I'm sure he had a name. In fact, I'd be absolutely astounded if he didn't have many other names, more than likely the brunt of name-calling, mockery. But the scriptures never give us his name, and there's a reason for it. And the reason, I believe, is this. It's because he's me and he's you. He's each of us. We can put our name there, right in this passage, because every one of us needs to come to Jesus. This passage reminds us that Jesus is alive. He's actively involved in your life and mine, and he has the power to meet every one of your needs. And we're going to see that the faith of this nameless man, who is such a great example to us of how we also ought to approach Jesus by faith, he's simply called a man or a leper. This is a man that clearly struggled in life, a man that was so heavily burdened, a man that was rejected by everyone except Jesus. He was no longer allowed in public places, no longer allowed in any walled city in Israel. And Luke said, "Behold, a man." And the people didn't see him as a man, but rather they looked at him as the walking dead. He came to Jesus. And yes, we're talking about a man that's afflicted with leprosy. That was his identity. That's how he was known. And most people knew nothing more about him than a disease that was devouring his body. And he's in the final stages of leprosy. And it tells that the multitude came down from the mountain, gathered around Jesus. They just finished listening to him. They were astonished, and I'm certain they wanted to hear more. But what people will see is that his words will be confirmed by his works. And you see, Jesus is mighty both in word and in deed. Yes, yes, even today, family, through the preaching of the gospel, which is what we're called to do. The words of Jesus in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They are spirit and they are life. So here they are, this crowd. And, you know, I'm trying to picture in my mind what this might have been like. And here comes this man. The crowd's gathered around Jesus. Here comes this man that's barely able to move, dragging his body toward the crowd. And as he got closer, certainly a sense of horror filled their hearts. It said that you could smell a leper from 100 yards away because of the decay in his body. So there's panic. There's this leper. He's coming toward us, and I'm sure some ran away, some probably screaming out of fear, maybe shouting at this man, "Get out of here. Go back home. Leave." And what we know about leprosy is it's highly contagious. Lepers were to be in total isolation, separated from society and shunned, and not even treated as human beings. The book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 says, "And a leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent or torn, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean,' all the days wherein the plague shall be in him. He shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without or outside the camp shall his habitation be." That's pretty serious, isn't it? Totally rejected. And there's a reason for the isolation. Tries to contain the disease of leprosy. No cure for it. So this man was destined to die from this disease. And verse 12 tells, again, he was full of leprosy. He was in the final stages. And Luke, of course, we know that he's a physician. He knew what he was talking about with regard to the extent of his leprosy. So I want to take a look at how this man, this leper, came to Jesus. There came a leper, it says, and what did he do? Verse 12 tells us that he fell on his face and besought him. In other words, he implored him. He begged Jesus. The Gospel of Mark tells us that he knelt before Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that he worshiped Jesus. And the word worship there is the Greek word proskuneo. It's got a really interesting translation. It means to kiss toward, or to throw a kiss, a sign of affection. In his context, not only a sign of affection, but certainly it was a sign of reverence. In the Persian culture, greeting between persons of equal rank was a kiss on the lips. When there was a difference in rank, it was a kiss on the cheek. When one was greatly inferior, he would fall on the ground upon the knees, touch his head to the ground while throwing kisses. The one that would fall to the ground on his knees and throw kisses was in need of help or mercy from the one of higher rank. This leper, family, he worshiped Jesus. He bowed down before him. He fell upon his knees, and while he was falling upon his knees, he's throwing kisses at Jesus. "Jesus, I need your help. I need your mercy." And what a great picture this is for us, how we ought to approach Jesus. Yes, first, to worship him, because he's a God that's worthy of all of our praise. And next, we can look at how this leper approached Jesus, as we see in the first three Beatitudes. Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This leper very clearly is poor in spirit. He had nothing to offer Jesus but his humble, needy life. And what he did was he cast himself on the mercy of God. He did all that he could possibly do in coming to Jesus, dragging his decaying body through the crowd, seeking mercy. Which of us can do anything more than that before our Almighty God? Casting ourselves upon his mercy, his mercies that are new every single morning. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Who could mourn more than this man, this leper? He was like a walking dead man. No different for us. Do we have any right to think higher of ourselves than dead in our trespasses and sins? We don't. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." In Matthew 5, verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Didn't this leper come meekly? Yeah. So meekly, his name isn't even recorded. He didn't come presumptuously or thinking he was entitled somehow. He came, he bowed and worshiped Jesus, falling prostrate before the Lord, and he left the matter entirely in the hands of the Savior. Can any of us approach our God and bring our cares before him in any other way than humbly and meekly leaving our cares and needs in our Savior's hands? We need to do the same, casting all of our care upon him because he cares for us. Your difficulties in life, your hurt, your present needs, your painful past, your failures, whatever has taken place, the things that just seem to burden you, matters of sin against our God, the things that are troubling to your heart, your worries and concerns that maybe they're eating you away at both physically and spiritually. It could be your marriage that needs healing or a relationship with someone that has fallen apart and seems hopeless. You see, any and all of these things that trouble you are safe grounds for Jesus to touch and heal and make whole. So it means that's where we go with it. We need to bring these cares to Jesus, just as the leper came to Jesus. Lessons from a leper. And maybe you're thinking, well, I don't even know any lepers. And even if I did, not sure I would learn much from him. Well, this man whose life we look at this morning, it could be me. It could be you. Certainly, we don't have the sores of leprosy, but leprosy in the Bible, you know what it's a picture of? It's a picture of sin. And as with sin, it starts small and grows. Leprosy starts on the inside, and by the time it makes its way to the outside, it's too late. Needs to be dealt with. Family, sin needs to be dealt with. That's why Jesus came. But people try to cover it or hide it. But if we try to cover it and hide it, what happens? It begins to eat away at us. Unless we bring it to Jesus, our hearts become hard. We don't want a hard heart. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So it's very possible, the scriptures tell us, unless sin is dealt with, our hearts get hard. It separates us, sin does, and isolates us. Sin has caused families to split up and part. Loss of friends, relationships. What it does to us is hurtful. And when I think of the psalmist David, King David, he understood this. And he said this in Psalm 38, verses 3 through 7. He said, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh." That's like the sin speaks of leprosy, and David knew all about it. He says, "My sin is just burying me." And he knew it had to be dealt with. In Psalm 38, verse 18, it says, "For I will declare mine iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin." This man that we're speaking of here had all this on him. He had the perception not only that his leprosy eat away at his flesh, but it's also eating away at his heart. And he said, "Lord, I know you can do this, but what I don't know is if it's your will." Between verses 12 and 13, there's a moment of suspense. The man said, "If thou will, you can make me clean. If thou will." He's crying out for the mercy of God. He didn't demand it. He didn't declare it. He didn't claim or clamor. He just so sweetly, beautifully, and humbly said, "If you will, you can make me clean." And he realized that he was unclean. And that's the necessary approach to Jesus, isn't it? Humbly. "Lord, I'm unclean. I'm a sinner in need of your mercy. If you will, you can make me clean." And the question in the leper's mind isn't about the power of God. His question was, if it's your will. For in his mind, God was angry with him. And that's how leprosy was viewed by the religion of the day, that God is angry over some sin, and therefore this man was afflicted with leprosy because of his sin and therefore cast out of society. So when the leper came and fell down before Jesus, the question again isn't about his power, but rather the love of Jesus. He said, "Lord, if you will, You will make me clean. And how beautiful it is that this leper, as he surrendered this whole matter to Jesus, he left it entirely in his hands according to his will. If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Everything depended on the Lord's will. Everything in his life. And that's a lesson for us too. Everything in our lives depends on the Lord's will for us. He said, if you're willing, because I know you're able. That's a statement of his faith, isn't it? He came to Jesus with boldness and courage. It was a courageous thing to be able to get through this crowd, among the crowd, to Jesus. Very, very courageous for him, just like we should have courage too. We always need to come to Christ with boldness. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come therefore boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the crowd's standing there, watching. Jesus is quiet. The untouchable, kneeling before Jesus, his face to the ground. In verse 13 says, Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Now, can you imagine the reaction of the crowd, probably inhaling, gasping, look what he did. And Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now think about this for a minute. Jesus didn't have to touch him. He didn't have to touch him. He could have easily said, be clean. He's God. The same God that spoke creation into existence with a word. He could have just spoken it to this man and it would have been done. This man hadn't been touched for a really long time. No human contact. And Jesus put his hand on him. It's evidence of God's love, and for the crowd who would see this man restored when no one else would have even considered coming near this leper, Jesus put his hand out and touched him. This is unheard of. No one else could have touched him. No one else would have touched him. Only Jesus. And I'm sure ripples of shock went through this crowd. Again, no one would allow a leper to come near, no less touch him. Not only dangerous, but it was against Levitical law. Jesus said in response to the leper, I will. Two very simple words, but they flowed from Jesus, his heart of compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion for this man, this rejected man, this castaway, this despised, this feared man whose body was decaying. And Jesus reached out his hand, touched him, and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately he was cleansed. Think about it. This incredibly astonishing sight. This man whose body was covered over with this loathsome disease came to Jesus on his own, and he was cleansed in an instant of time. And Jesus touched this man, which meant he became unclean himself. Highly contagious. And you know what, family? It's such a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for sinners. He became sin for us, that we would become clean. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He bore our sins in his own body on the cross. He became sin for us, just as Jesus, when he touched this leper, he took upon this man's disease. And we know that Jesus didn't get the disease. We know that. He touched him. Immediately, he was made whole. Now, picture what's happening here. Jesus touched the man, and he was cleansed, made whole. Think about what took place. This man was in such late stages of leprosy, and mind you, leprosy affects the extremities. His fingers were gone, his nose gone, toes gone. And Jesus touched him, and immediately his fingers come back on his hands. His nose comes back on his face. His toes appear on his feet. No wonder this is included in the three Gospels. This man knelt before Jesus, and when Jesus cleansed him and made him whole, he stood up in front of the crowd, and Jesus said, "Now listen, don't tell anyone," as if the miracle couldn't be seen, right? Don't tell anybody, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to go see the priest and offer the sacrifices. It says in verse 14, he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. He encouraged the man to see the priest and obey the rules for restoration that are given to us in Leviticus chapter 14. The high priests of that day, Caiaphas and Ananias, and other high priests in Jerusalem had diagnosed many lepers over the years. But what we don't find in the scriptures is no record that the high priest ever offered sacrifices associated with the healing of leprosy. But now these same high priests that had diagnosed the leprosy now see this leper with, he's cleansed. He's no longer a leper. Now imagine their thought process here, like, okay, we've never seen this done before. Now what do we do? Quick, open up to Leviticus chapter 14. I'm not telling you. This is their thought process. And let's see. In the book of Leviticus states that this ceremony is a picture of the work of Christ on the cross and his incarnation, his death, and his resurrection. All this was done in this ceremony in Leviticus 14 over living, running water, a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. And the sacrifice reminds us that Jesus had to die for us in order to deliver us from our sins. And here's what chapter 14 of Leviticus tells us. I'm going to paraphrase this. When you believe a man is cleansed from leprosy, take an earthen vessel and fill it with running water or living water, picture of Jesus, and then take two doves. Take one of those, slit its throat, and pour its blood into the living water. And then you're to take hyssop, which is a soft flowery plant. Psalm 51, David said, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be made clean." Take this hyssop tied to a piece of scarlet thread and a piece of cedar. Then dip this hyssop in bloody water and sprinkle the leper that was cleansed seven times. Then take the other white dove and dip it into the bloody water, and that white dove now becomes red, and he's set free and flies to heaven, washed in the blood of another dove, not of a lamb or an ox, but a dove. And this is a picture of Jesus, our Redeemer. Then they would take that leper and shave his entire body. They put him away in isolation for 8 days, and when he was brought out after 8 days, if he was still clean, they would offer a lamb as a sacrifice. And what we're going to see here is this is a picture of Christian life in Leviticus 14. And we have a greater sacrifice in Jesus Christ. Of course, we know this. So they were to take the blood of the lamb and to apply it to the man's right ear, on his right thumb, and on the big toe of his right foot. And then he would take oil and put it on his right ear, right thumb, and big toe of the right foot. And the only place, only other place we find this practice in the scriptures is in the ordination of a priest. And for the Christian, this is a picture. And the picture is this, is that the blood of the lamb determines, remember, he touched the ear. The blood of the lamb determines what you listen to, what you give yourself to. The blood of the Lamb determines what you will do with your hands, your work, and your life. Applied to the thumb, right? The blood of the Lamb determines where you're going to go, where you walk and spend your time, all under the power of God's Holy Spirit. The blood of the Lamb applied to our lives. And family, this is so important for us today because we live in a culture when it seems nothing is unclean anymore. Everything's accepted. And what we do need in our culture is a picture of, we just talked about in Leviticus 14, that blood to be applied to the ear, to the thumb, to the feet, to guide our lives. And without that, there's no longer a way to diagnose the leprosy of sin in much of today's culture, because evil is called good and good is called evil. And many, many, many people abandon the moral compass of the Word of God. I just learned yesterday that there's a version of the Bible called the Queen James Version. You get the message. It abandons any mention of the sin of homosexuality. But rather, what we find in society today, because the moral compass is disappearing, not everywhere, but it's getting worse, family. It's getting worse. Sin is glorified. Violence is increasing. Drug use increasing. Legalized. Alcoholism, abortion, and so on. Homosexuality. And when you say something, then you're the problem. And you're canceled. You're shut down. The culture can no longer diagnose the problem because they look at the culture for their answers. Sin is rampant, but you know what? And much like the leper who lies awake at night from the pain of leprosy, physically, emotionally, and psychologically is the same as a sinner that comes face to face with their sin. And this is what's needed. And because people don't want to come face to face with their sin, because when we come face to face with our sin, we realize this hurts. And I don't want to acknowledge the hurt. So I'm going to take this thing called sin, I'm going to write it off from my vocabulary. And what needs to take place is just like this leper. Lord, you know, I know you can heal me. But will you? And for the prodigal in the church that sinned against the light of God, I knew better. I should have done this. God, I know you can, but I don't know if you will. I'm tired of my life the way it's going right now, and it's eating me up inch by inch. It's destroying me, and that's what sin does. But you know what, family? Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's the same God who's able to do the same things. And you know what, family? It's not the finger of God that smites us. It's the finger of God that reaches out to us to heal us of our sin. And people wrestle with that. They don't know what to do with that. I know there's a God of power, and you've heard this before, but if he's a God of love, where is this God of love? If God is a God of love, why are there the mudslides in Nepal right now? Why are there hurricanes? Why are there tornadoes, wildfires, death and destruction? And people say, it's you, God. It's you. You caused this. But what you and I need, or what you and I know, we see in the prophet Elijah, when God spoke to him in 1 Kings 19:11 and 12, he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. He was not and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Just a still small voice. And Elijah learned that he's not the God that causes the hurricanes or the mudslides or the tornadoes. It's all because of the fall of man. God didn't cause any of those things. The love of God is Jesus Christ on the cross, reconciling the word unto himself. That's where the love of God is found. We can't look around at the things that are taking place in the world and blame God. What we need to do is look back to the root. Way back to the book of Genesis, when man sinned against God. There was no hurricanes back then. There was no tornadoes. There was no wildfires. There was no mudslides. When sin entered the world, everything changed. The problem in our world and in our culture is we no longer have a means to diagnose the problem with mankind apart from the Word of God. There is no way to accurately diagnose the problem unless we look to the Word of God. The problem with mankind isn't in the weather or storms for the Christian or non-Christian. The problem is sin, and the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart, isn't it? For you and I today, Jesus said this in John 16:8, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And you know, it doesn't matter what the culture says. It doesn't matter what the culture permits. The truth is the Holy Spirit speaks to each of us. And we know when the Holy Spirit speaks to us about sin, don't we? Yeah. Praise God for that. We get this gnawing in our heart as God taps us on the heart and in the mind. And he says, I love you enough in order to tell you to stop. And we fall at the feet of Jesus, and for certain, we know more about Jesus, don't we, than this leper did? But what faith he had. The leper didn't know the rest of the story. He didn't know Jesus would go to the cross. Family, but we do. We know how sin was dealt with. And we can come to Jesus and say, Lord, I know you can, and I know you will clean up my life, and I'm willing because you are willing. Amen. Isn't that beautiful about our God? He is willing, and he's looking for willing participants in his plan. Lord, cleanse me. Your mercies are new every single morning. I want to walk with you. I want to know your presence. I want you because you came to save sinners from their sin. And Lord, I am a sinner. Music to God's ears. We've just come into agreement with what he already knows. Verse 15 says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and a great multitude came together to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. This is the third time now that the word of fame came about Jesus. People began to understand, and that's what he wants for us, to understand who he is. This is what he's teaching us today. Verse 16 says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. Jesus withdrew. He would never submit himself to the crowd as a local hero. He didn't come to be a hero, but rather a savior. He didn't come for notoriety. He came to save sinners from their sin. He went to pray. He went to worship. Father, I praise you for your power, for your healing, for restoring. He went and he worshiped. And family, this leper, he went willingly to Jesus and asked. And certainly this account we studied this morning is an account of physical healing on the part of the leper. But family, for us, it goes so much deeper than that. It reaches right down into our lives, doesn't it? Our cares, our burdens, our hurt, our loss, our pain and sorrow, our needs and struggles. Any plague of leprosy in your life that needs a touch from Jesus, he's here for you today. And you can just come to him and speak to him in reverence and humility and worship, bowing before Jesus, casting your care upon him, throwing kisses his way on the way down. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord, I know you can. I want to meet you in your willingness. I'm willing, Lord, to come to you because I need you. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Don't you love that? Amen. Abundantly pardon. There's nothing that he's unable to pardon. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And as I shared just a few moments ago, the culture today says, don't talk about it. The culture today says, don't make me try to feel guilty. The culture today says, I want to do it my way. And we all know where it's headed, don't we? We see it every single day. And it's painful to watch. And we often talk about, you know, Jackie and I do, and you know, when we grew up in our day and age, when we were kids, oh, certainly life had its difficulties and struggles. When we raised our children, life had its difficulties and struggles, but not like we see them today. It's a lot different because we've abandoned what we learned about in Leviticus 14 this morning. We've abandoned the moral compass, the ability to come to God and say, God, you show me, you teach me, give me your word, give me a word. Lord, I need you. I don't need this stuff. I need you. And the Holy Spirit of God is such an incredibly beautiful teacher, isn't he? You know, Jesus said, when you seek me, you shall find me, which has another implication too. When you don't seek me, you won't find me. And people begin to look elsewhere. Why are there so many cults in the world? Because people look elsewhere, invent their own form of religion, thinking somehow this will satisfy Almighty God. But God says, no. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to my Father except by me. And I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe with all my heart, I couldn't share that with you. I wouldn't be standing here this morning. But family, for us this morning, I think the key thing for us is if there's anything in your life that needs to be brought under the blood of Christ, then may today be the day. And how beautiful it is that this man, this nameless man, came to Jesus unashamed, but he knew where he needed to go. And he said, I know you've got the power. But do you have the will? And we know that Jesus has the will to forgive. That's why he came. We know he has the power to forgive. We know he has the ability to bring comfort where comfort is needed. Whatever your needs are, we have a God in heaven that cares. He sees, he hears, and he knows. He told his people back in the Exodus, I see and I hear and I know, and I've come to help. I don't know how it can be any better than that. And I don't believe there is any way to be better than that. Because God sees, he hears, and he knows, and he's here for you, he's here for me, he's here for us today. And maybe there's some that haven't yet come to Christ. Maybe you've been more closely swayed by the culture rather than led by God's Holy Spirit. And Jesus isn't angry. His love still stands. His love is sure. And he's here to help. Amen. Will you come to him this morning as that leper in need? Again, leper is a picture of sin. And sin must be dealt with. And there's only one way to deal with it properly. And that is through Jesus Christ, who would say, I will forgive you. Apart from that, there is no forgiveness. there is no future, and there is no hope. Well, if that's you, then let's pray and just bring this before the Lord. So, Father, I come to you, and this is very personal. Lord, I come to you on my own. I'm not swayed by anyone, but I am led by your Holy Spirit. And as the leper said, if you will, you can make me clean. And I believe with all of my heart that Jesus, you went to the cross and you poured out your blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all of my sin. I believe this with every fiber of my being. I come to you humbly. I come to praise you. I come to cast myself upon your mercy and ask you to forgive me. And Lord, you just said yes. Thank you for that. I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Help me to turn away from the things that are harmful, the things that are not of you. And Lord, help me to embrace everything about you. Erase any doubt that I've had or continue to have. Take away any lack of faith and fill me with faith that brings me to the place where I am right now and will continue to be. I want to walk by faith and not by sight. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for taking the debt of sin that I could never, ever pay. And you took it to the tomb and left it there as you rose from the dead. Thank you for the new life you've just provided. Help me to turn from the things that are harmful and turn all things over to you, just as the leper did. I cast it all on you. And I thank you, Father, for allowing me the privilege to do so. In Jesus' name. Amen.